Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Dusty White of Corndale Church. And every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. Today, we're joined with Trent Senske, who is Pastor Bob's assistant. Trent, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me, Mike.
Bob is out on vacation this week. He's in Miami with the Acts 29 Pastors Conference. And speaking of vacations, Dusty, how was your vacation?
My vacation was great. We were took a week off and we stayed home. We did a staycation. We've never done the staycation thing, and then spent a weekend at a water park. And so it was really good, really restful. So got some things done around the house and hung out.
Nice. It's good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
So Dusty, about 6 months ago, you preached a sermon titled Spiritual Disciplines. And with it being in the middle of the summer where everybody is focused on relaxing, going on vacation, taking a break from the craziness of life, we want to acknowledge today that the reality is that some of us might have forgotten about the spiritual disciplines we committed to. And so today, we just wanted to kind of bring this back out into the forefront and talk about spiritual disciplines and kind of remind people that they're important. And so we'll just start the conversation today by asking the question, why do we care about spiritual disciplines?
We care because we see Scripture care. And so we see this in Peter. We see it in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. And so, last January 6th, I preached a sermon on spiritual disciplines and the spiritually disciplined life, and try to give some categories if you're a new Christian or been a Christian for a long time, and just try to build out some categories that we've borrowed from Dallas Willard. And I'll talk about that in a minute. And we do want to revisit it simply because it is summer and we are halfway through the year. And so I'm hopeful that Trent and I will just be able to share some personal experiences too today. But in that sermon, so first of all, I want to encourage our listeners to go back and maybe listen to the conversation that started 6 months ago on January 6th at cdomaha.com. In that sermon, I said, we don't want to be the same people a year from now that we are today. Or to put it a different way, looking back a year from now, we don't want to be the same people. And so you can change that sentence around however you want. But basically, the idea is, you know, we should be progressing. We should be maturing. We should be developing along the way instead of going backwards or staying the same. We shouldn't be staying static. So in light of that, what do? You know, you should be disciplined in the things you do. And we get that idea from 1 Timothy 4:7. Train yourself to be godly. It says this, rather train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And so we gain that from the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 4:7, just talking about training and talking about discipline. And so we've borrowed from different authors along the way. Here's just kind of a definition to get us started. What does it look like to be spiritually disciplined? So Mike, Trent, as we talk about that, what's it look like? Here's what Willard says in his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines. A discipline for the spiritual life is an activity undertaken to bring us into more effective cooperation with Christ and his kingdom. The disciplines are, and this is really, really important, the disciplines are, in the clearest sense, a means to grace.
Spiritual disciplines, just in the name itself, has a connotation that spiritual disciplines are hard work. There's this idea that they're performance driven. Is that a correct view? Is that an incorrect view? Is that a partially correct view?
Yeah, I think it's somewhat of a correct view. I think it's both and. I think it's a correct view simply because and commentaries and scholars and theologians would break this down based on 1 Timothy 4:7, that all of that comes from the root word gymnasium or gymnastics. And so there's a sense of training and physical work there, and there is work performance put in. Mm-hmm. But I think that's why I think Willard's definition is important. It's a means of grace.
Yeah, I think we tend to polarize those two things in a really unhelpful way. So everyone knows the guy who does spiritual disciplines to the T because it's his duty and trains well, and that's all they are to him, is just the thing that he does. He's disciplined in doing them, and there seems to lack life in his rhythm. But we also know the other people that they don't do anything unless they feel a sense of life or excitement or joy about it. So they won't commit to do anything that's training or developing themselves or, you know, something where they're going to reap the benefits of later on in life or in a different season.
So there's an element of the spiritual disciplines then that we may not see a fruit right away.
Exactly.
So in a sense, spiritual disciplines isn't necessarily training us or preparing us for that moment, but it could be a day later, it could be a month later, a year later, 5 years down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so also in my sermon, I told this story about my wife and us facing some health issues and a flood of scripture coming to mind, psalms and hymns and other things that came to mind as soon as we heard that news. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about that is I heard somewhere along the way, I don't know where I heard this, from some other podcast probably or somebody somebody smarter than me who said, in the moment of crisis, you don't need to give somebody a verse. They need to have already had the verse. Hmm. And so that's why spiritual disciplines are worth it. I think when you're memorizing scripture and, you know, praying through your journal and those kinds of things, sometimes they feel a little lifeless and they feel a little dutiful. But in the, you're doing them so that you can have a disciplined life for the highs and the lows, you know?
I think this area of life highlights the fallen world that we live in. So we have a natural tendency because of sin to drift towards performance-driven duty where there's a lacking of life and fullness. We're going to drift towards that which is dead. And so there's always going to be a need for us to humble ourselves, come under the means that God's revealed for us to receive his grace and to be renewed spiritually. So when we do come under those, he does promise that there is fresh joy for those who seek him, for those who are meek and lowly before him, using the means of grace.
When I think of discipline, I think of like football and summer camp mm-hmm. and two-a-days. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the fall and you're still practicing. And then you finally have the game. So like all summer, your coach is yelling at you, talking about that one game, the championship, state, whatever it is. There's a motivation behind why you go through so much training. What should our motivation be as Christians? Why would we go through spiritual discipline? What's our end goal?
I listened to Pastor Tim Keller talk about spiritual vitality once, and he said, "I'll take any motivation I can get to live the Christian life."
Yeah.
Isn't that so true? We want to limit and narrow the valid motivations for spiritual disciplines to the point where we don't feel motivated at all anymore. We can't quite grab hold of a motivation that's going to allow us to continue to persevere and endure in these disciplines. So one of the motivations to pursue disciplines is God himself. Mm-hmm. God is worthy. He is worthy of our worship. He is great. He is holy. He is majestic. He is full of mercy and grace towards us. There are so many things about the nature of God himself that should compel us to seek him. They should mm-hmm. compel us out of worship to meet with him, to pray to him, to read his word, to be in community, to seek solitude. So many different things about God compel us to seek him through spiritual disciplines.
Yeah, and in light of that, I now have access to the throne of grace, which I didn't have as a non-Christian, right? So one of my motivations is just, man, I can commune and pray to and with the God of the universe and right before his face in the throne room.
Yeah, so the reality is that our sins, Isaiah says in chapter 59, have made a separation between us and God. And so we don't have access to him apart from Christ. Mm-hmm. But Christ, our mediator, Christ, our reconciler, has actually given us access to the throne of grace, access to have communion and relationship with God. And so some of the reason that we lack motivation is we just have forgotten the gospel. We've forgotten that we have access to live life in dependence on God.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about that, Trent, is we tend not to forget that we have access to God when we're with God's people. Or when it's perhaps Sunday night and we're at the gathering on Sunday morning or something like that. But we do mm-hmm. definitely forget on a Tuesday morning or a Thursday afternoon and realize, you know, in the maybe in your darkest moments that, oh, you know, life is terrible, I don't have access to God. The reality is you have access to God at all the time if you're in Christ, right?
And so one of the ways that we can find motivation for living the spiritual life is to look at God himself. But another way is just to honestly look at ourselves. Most often we don't take an honest look at ourselves and see our need. One of the things that should drive us to walk with God is knowing how needy we are, knowing that we need God day by day, hour by hour. And if we have an awareness of that, we're going to seek him. We're going to pray to him. We're going to read his word. We're going to depend on his truth.
Well, let me play the devil's advocate a little bit there. It seems like my life's going pretty well right now. I just came off vacation. I have a little bit more energy. And I think things are going pretty well. I don't necessarily need God right now, do I?
You might not think so right now, but maybe not. That's not the motivation that's driving you in this moment. So maybe the motivation that's driving you in this moment is Thanksgiving. Maybe life is good, and so what drives you to God is thankfulness, gratitude, a sense of, you know, God's given to me, and I would love to thank him for it.
Yeah, which is good, because Willard says Thanksgiving and celebration is actually a sense of discipline or a type of discipline.
So our spiritual disciplines can be worship then.
They should be a joyful thing. They should be worshipful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that should be your motivation to even engage in a spiritual discipline, should be a disposition of worship.
So let's talk the other way for a minute. What if training or development is a motivation for you?
Well, I think that's okay. And the reason I think it's okay is because 1 Timothy 4 says, train yourself for godliness. And so I feel like you can fall back on a biblical answer, right? So I think the elementary answer there to your question is like, well, it's biblical. But I think we do this in every area of life. And so why wouldn't we do it spiritually? What I mean by that is week and a half ago, I was meeting with a couple, and he's an actuary, and he's studying every single night right now because he has a test coming up for his job, and he needs to pass the test. And so he has this binder that is just daunting. And I saw him with it, actually. And so I was just like intimidated by this thing he was carrying around. And he's just like, yeah, I'm just working my tail off right now, trying to get this into my head so that I can pass this test, which is my job is dependent on it. I think we do the same thing in athletics. I think we do the same thing in our careers. You know, there's a reason that med students have to be disciplined, and during med school, they kind of go off the grid from normal life because they're swallowed up, if you will, by med school, because they're training to be doctors. And so we do this in all areas of life. Why wouldn't we do it spiritually?
And I think there's a whole group of people who would want to say, yeah, but that's just not me. I'm not a disciplined person. So what would you say to them?
I would say, well, welcome to the broken and fallen world that we live in, especially the current generation, because we don't want to do anything we don't want to do, and that's the problem. That's one of the epidemics that we have, especially just with manliness and manhood, is a lack of men rising to the occasion. And I think that's one of the plagues that we have right now in the church too, is just, well, I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to do it. Well, the reality is Scripture calls you to do it, and if you didn't want to do your job, then you would get fired. And so, you know, I mean, we got to be careful there. That's a little too black and white. But, and I realize that, but if you worship God and God has saved you and he's called you by his grace into his throne room and you have now access to God, how could you not engage in a disciplined life to the glory of God? Because it is going to better your own soul anyway. One of the things that I'm nervous about and the reason I'm nervous about this is because I see it in my own soul often, where our life gets way out ahead of us and our soul gets left behind. And we're not cultivating a spiritual well-being along the way. And so we start engaging in things way out here, if you will, and our soul is left back there. And I was on the phone with a guy in a different city, you know, trying to, in a sense, kind of talk him off the ledge, remind him of the very things that we're talking about here today. God is good. His promises are true. Dropping in promises that he already knew. And I see this in my own soul all the time too. And that's why spiritual disciplines are necessary. They ground us in the faith.
And I think to build on what you said, the reality is we're always going somewhere. Mm-hmm. So if our life is carrying on and our soul is being left behind, we're always moving in one direction. Idleness is not really a possibility for the spiritual life.
Right.
So we're either progressing or moving closer to God or walking with him deeply, or we're not.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important, too, to realize, it's interesting, Mike, you brought this up at the beginning. Right when we hear spiritual disciplines, we automatically think performance. And so if you're a guy listening to this conversation, you probably automatically start to think, oh, man, they're talking about spiritual disciplines. I'm failing, you know?
Checklist time.
Yeah. Checklist time. Which disciplines am I good at? Which ones am I terrible at? Where do I go from here? And again, this is why I really like Willard's definition. It's a means of grace. And so, and at the same time, I think it's also important to emphasize when we're talking about spiritual disciplines that spiritual disciplines don't keep us in the grace of God. They just help us ground ourselves in the very grace of God that we're already given. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Willard has some really helpful things to say about spiritual disciplines. And I wonder if one of the things he says might be helpful for the guy who has a checklist of spiritual disciplines and is trying to keep them all up. Mm-hmm. And that's the simple truth that you actually can't do all the disciplines at the same time.
No, I'd be afraid of that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's interesting to me. I mean, really, like if you're praying and reading and celebrating and fasting and you're alone on a day of solitude, that's an interesting hermit-like guy. But, right? I mean, that's just an interesting dude. But so I think there's an ebb and flow here, and I think there's just realistic nature to the spiritual disciplines. But I do think, in light of the goal that we have for our own church here at Coram Deo to not be the same people in a year, I think it's real easy to take a baby step. If the idea is training, then I think it's realistic to take a baby step, if you will, and implement one discipline towards godliness, you know, this year. And the main motivation is, man, I want to be holy. I want to be set up. I am set apart, and therefore I want to grow into my sanctification, right? I am sanctified and I'm being sanctified. In light of that, spiritual disciplines are the tools in my toolbox, if you will, to what's already been factory installed in me as a disciple of Christ. And so why would I not grab that and roll with it? I definitely want to exhort us to be realistic here. Here's what I mean. Most of the time, I pray best with other people, and I pray best with a pen and a paper. And so, for example, this morning, I was coming off vacation. I had a 7 o'clock phone call this morning, which is early for me coming off vacation. So before that, I realized, man, my soul's in a weird spot, and I'm not ready to engage in ministry at all. And so that came out of a personal soul issue for me. And so I sat down and I prayed with my journal and with my pen. Some of you feel like that's hyper spiritual right there, but I want to encourage you, whatever the means are for you to engage with God, do that. Okay. And I think God really met with me in that. Later, I was talking to my wife later today and talking to her about that and just realizing, you know, God's been good to me already this morning. Felt really connected. Most of the time I don't feel connected. If I'm going to be completely honest, there's moments where I don't really feel connected. I write, I journal a page, shut the book, and kind of feel like, well, that happened. And that's actually the training part. I feel like that's actually the discipline part of still doing the same thing that I feel like works most of the time. So it's summer. Maybe you've dropped the ball, and maybe you need to pick that ball back up. What can you do now to engage? So to close this out, let me share the list that we shared in January. The spiritual disciplines, as Willard puts it, and there's obviously more. Here's some categories: prayer, scripture, fellowship, solitude and silence, fasting, giving or sacrifice, study or learning, and then celebration or thankfulness. As you ponder that list, what's it look like for you to engage in a discipline for your spiritual vitality, for the glory of God and your own good?
Thanks, Trent. Thanks, Dusty, for talking about spiritual disciplines today. And thank you for listening in. If you want to reference the sermon that Dusty talked about, you can go to cdomaha.com, click on resources, and use the search bar, type in spiritual disciplines, and you'll be able to watch the sermon online or download the MP3. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we invite you to listen in, and we pray that the things that we talk about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. And we love hearing from you on Twitter. So engage in this conversation or suggest conversation topics to us through Twitter at Coram Deo Omaha. We'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.